more and more the people of God are going to recognize the difference between his spirit and all the other things we get bombarded with. You think about the age that we live in, there's nothing gentle about how we are assaulted on all sides by people trying to get our attention. I mean, you turn on the television set, advertisers don't rely on the gentle blowing to get your attention, do they? They hit you full force. They go after your mind, your emotions. And I'm afraid that the church may have fallen into that too. You know, we have such a burden for people to know the Lord, and yet how much is there a reliance on the human conditioning or the human resources? We've got to entertain people, you know, keep them in services. Preachers have got to speak loud and then somehow come across in a certain way to get people's attention. And all of this may be fine when we're working on a human level, on a soul level. But it has nothing to do with God or how his spirit moves. God is coming by the spirit, and in the complex age that we live in with all the demands and all the bombardments, those that have an ear to hear are going to hear the voice of the Spirit. And believe me, that's louder than any voice that can be produced in the world. And going back to Elijah, and we were in this last week, just briefly, when he was on Mount Horeb, you remember the story. He was running from Jezebel, went through a time of very deep depression, and his own human need, he was just swallowed up with a desire to die. He came to Mount Horeb, and it says, he stood on the mountain, and behold, the Lord was passing by. This is very interesting, because I think today, in the world today, people recognize, God's people recognize that the Lord is here. Spirit of God is here. But it said after that, a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. All this is happening. There's a recognition that God is passing by. Something's happening in the day we live in right now. And there are earthquakes, and there's wind, and there's fire. And our flesh can get very impressed with that, and just it gets our attention. Yet what he was telling Elijah, all that was happening right before Elijah's eyes, but that's not where God was. That's not where his presence was. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. And it came about when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him. In that gentle blowing, in that place in his presence, that's where the voice of the Lord came forth. And of course, his voice came to Elijah, signaling changes, new beginnings for him, whole new ministry opening up for him. I think it's going to be very similar in this day. And those that find their home in that gentle blowing of the Spirit, learn to listen to that. God's voice is going to be very real and able to speak to us and create the new thing that he's doing within our lives. Now, Elijah, how did he come to this point? Again, he was swallowed up in human need. All that depression he went through, oh God, I'm no better than my fathers, let me die. And here, after a short time later, he's standing on the mountain hearing God speak to him about new things. Don't dismiss your human need or be ashamed of it or feel that because your emotions go through different states or you're going through different battles that that's keeping you from God. Underneath all that human turmoil that we go through, a deep and great truth is trying to emerge. That's why the scripture said his power is perfected in our weakness. Let's not run from our weakness or feel that it somehow makes us less spiritual. All the weakness that you experience in your humanity, underneath that, there's a deep, deep truth that's coming forth, a deep connection to God by the Spirit. And I think a lot of the shame that's been put on people in church and saying, well, if you're these things come up in your human nature, it's just a sign that you're not mature, you're not this, you're not that. I think the devil's had a heyday accusing God's people because people of the Lord haven't recognized that their humanity is not a problem to God. Let's just take that next step and find that connection with his voice. Be a part of that gentle blowing. I don't want to be standing in this age and just know that God's passing by. I want to connect personally with his voice. and be changed by what he's speaking. I know that's the cry of all our hearts. It wasn't just for Elijah. We're all being drawn up that spiritual mountain and hearing a lot of things. And again, in this age, there's just so many voices. How do we make them stop? You don't. But just don't let those voices don't determine who you are. Go a little bit deeper and say, Lord, all these things are happening around me. That's not going to be my focus. I want to hear what you're speaking to my life. Amen. Ears to hear. He's creating that within us. Yes. Amen.
It's been a couple of weeks, and my goodness, a lot happens over this period of time. So, as you know, I was back on the East Coast for some business and got caught in the weather that was back there, and it was pretty significant. It delayed me actually about an additional 36 hours, so that wasn't fun. So it's great to be back here in California, and even better to be back with you here this morning and to be a part of what God's doing. Before we begin, I really must say something about the worship, and then I think we've had kind of a full plate already, so we're going to have to kind of listen fast here, if you will, to get out on time. I'm sure our stomachs will be growling here by the time in another 15 minutes or so. But I can't help but be impressed with what's taking place in the spirit. And in reflecting back over the last three, four, maybe months, you know, some words have come that have been quite significant. You recall the word that was brought in regards to the moving of the Lord in the mulberry trees. Remember how they weren't supposed to move until they had the moving of the Spirit and the sound of the trees above, and then the army was to go forth. And then, of course, even I guess last week, and David brought it out here this week, in regards to Elijah. And that still small voice. You know, there's a lot of things that will go on around us, but it's waiting to hear from the Spirit and waiting to hear from the Lord that's going to separate now in this hour those that know their God and those that just know about God. All right? So that's what we're going to be speaking about here, and we just ask the Lord's blessings, if we could, on the word here this morning. Heavenly Father, we now call in every way upon you that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that ever liveth to make intercession for us shall flow through our lives and our minds here this morning. That in every way, Lord, your speaking, and Lord, may we be listening, may we be hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We ask for the free flow of the word, that the word will land on fertile hearts, that will not forget the word, but the word will be indelibly written upon the tablets of our lives, that will be those living epistles, read and known of all men. For on the heart, God is writing his word. Amen. I titled the word this morning, Speak, Lord, I'm Listening. Now, I'd like to refer you back to Amos chapter 8. This scripture was brought out a couple of weeks ago. We're going to pick it up in verse 11, and I'd like to read that to you now. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or of thirst or of water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. I think it's rather interesting. The prophet mentions from north to east. It's just rather interesting. We are in days that are very similar to the days of Amos. And during the course of human history, I think it would be fair to say that there have really been several times when the word of the Lord was rather rare and scarce. Yet just when we begin to think that all is failing and all is falling down and disaster is going to overtake the world and everything is going to nothing, that's the time when you should look up. For your salvation draweth nigh. In all the movings of God, in fact, all the human history of God, you'll always see that as God begins to move in the earth to end one thing, he's always in the process already of bringing forth something new. All right? That's very, very, very important. Okay? For in this hour, a remnant of God is coming forth that are beginning to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And it's because of this hearing ear, and actually we can say this spoken word, you can't hear what's not being spoken, right? Is the change that the earth is going through, because we're in a great transitional period of human history in the earth, that this change that God wants to bring forth in mankind and on planet earth will be taking place. Because it will be taking place through a remnant of people that are hearing what the Spirit is saying to the earth, and they're receptive enough to it, they're humble enough to it, they're the servants of the Lord, that eventually they become the channels then of what God wants to do in the earth. They become the actual word of God flowing through to the earth of what God wants to do in the earth. All right? Keep in mind that you cannot separate what God wants to do in the earth through God, what God will do in his people. Very, very important. Okay? So God is looking for people in the earth right now that have the receptivity to hear his word. And it's coming in the realm of the spirit, not on the realm of the soul. We're going to talk about that. It's not a religious move of God's people. It is a spiritual renaissance, if you will, of God's moving in the earth. All right? Okay. This then lays, shall we say, the foundation for this morning's word. Now, perhaps the best way to illustrate what God is doing today is to use the story out of Samuel. All right. So for those of you that brought your Bible, please turn with me to a very, very familiar passage out of 1 Samuel chapter 3. So this represents a very close parallel to what the remnant of God is doing now as the remnant of God was doing then. Okay, reading verse 1 of Samuel 3, please. We know it well. The boy Samuel was ministering before the Lord unto Eli. Now Eli, of course, was the priest of God in that hour. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli, and of course we know how the story goes. We're very familiar with the story from there. A couple things I'd like to bring to your attention here. Where was Samuel positioned? Young Samuel, a young boy, was positioned in the temple of God where the ark of God was. I kind of wonder, well, how come Eli wasn't there? He was the priest. This represents something very important for the remnant of God. Our positioning in God is very, very important. Where are you choosing to live? Where are you choosing to abide? Where are you choosing to lay your life down, if you will? All right. Verses 4 through 11, 10 that would be, sorry. Let me just paraphrase that. We know about the exchange. Three times he goes to Eli, not knowing yet the voice of God to his life. But then, of course, Eli recognized, something strange going on here. This is what you should say this third time. When it speaks the third time, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. Well, Samuel followed those words of advice from the priest Eli. And cutting in at verse 11, please, we read, and the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about, this is the Lord speaking to Samuel, okay, verse 11, see, I'm about to do something to Israel, in Israel, that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. That time I will carry out against Eli everything I have spoken against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves vile or contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or by offerings. The very first word that came to this young priest prophet Samuel was a very, very heavy word indeed. Very, very heavy word indeed. And it was a word of judgment. Now, I'd like you to think upon that very, very closely. I'm going to destroy the whole house. I'm going to remove him from the picture. The old order of the day of Eli was very top-heavy, was corrupt, was ready to die. And dear ones, so it is today. Amen. The word that is coming today is a word that God is speaking through the Samuels of the earth that God is raising up among the nations. And I happen to think that here in the United States, many of those men and women reside. But it's going to be a company of people that God begins to move on and speak to, just like God moved on and spoke to the young Samuel. Despise not the day of small beginnings, dear ones, because the prophet Samuel came forth, as everyone then attested to, throughout the whole land. They recognized and knew that Samuel was a prophet of God. The same thing will occur now for the remnant of God. We should not look upon our flesh and say, I don't come from a family of nobility. I don't have much to say this or say that about. I'm just an average human being. God is going to take the weak things of the world, dear ones, and confound the mighty. For in this day, we know that change must take place, which means God is going to bring judgment. But at the same time, our focus won't be on the judgment. Although I can tell you this, everyone will experience judgment, but the remnant of God will be experiencing the anointing and the blessing and the wonderful relationship that Samuel had with the God Almighty. Hallelujah. And this is what we want to focus on in today's message, because it represents the future for the remnant of God, because they will be the ones that will have the relationship with God. They will be the ones that will be hearing the word of God. They will be the ones that will be housing the presence of God, which will be the immunity and will be the way in to the new day in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So we're not going to look at the, shall we say, the top heaviness of today's world. We recognize that it's there, but we have to say, yes, God is going to change it. Instead, we're going to receive an anointing from God, like Samuel, to know the voice of God and to do the will of God. Very, very important. So what we're receiving now has nothing to do with the old order of things. Can you say that? Nothing that you experienced this morning, I would say, in the worship is probably happening at the Methodist Church here in town. I mean, not to create, but we're standing here in the presence of the Lord, being led by the Spirit of the Lord, and there is always that mark of creativity. I don't find any of the two services alike. There's no pattern or form that we can say other than the fact that we're open to receiving the moving of the Spirit of God. And this is what the remnant is all about. It's what Samuel was all about as well. Okay. So what we're receiving has nothing to do with the old order of things, but it is fresh and it is alive and it is what God is doing in the earth, because we have listening ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Okay, like young Samuel, we're learning the voice of the Lord, and it is fresh revelation from God that we're walking in, something that is altogether brand new. And there's that creativity, there's the love in it, it's the nature of God being revealed through His Spirit. Okay, so the first word that Samuel received was concerning the judgment of God that would fall on the old order of things. All right. Now, the parousia, which we know is a presence or is a period of time, it's not necessarily an event, okay? The parousia, some think maybe as long as a 35-year window of time. The parousia, the presence of the Lord in the end time, will not guarantee that the church will have any kind of success. However, His presence will guarantee that judgment will fall. All right. Okay. One age is ending and a new age is definitely beginning. We say, well, how can that be? Because, gosh, it looks kind of the same as about last week out there. Maybe more of the same, you know. But don't despise, as we said, the day of small beginnings. Because the Spirit of God is moving in the earth And he's going to bring forth his plan and his will to mankind. And that's the thing that's so exciting. Okay, so these days, very much like the days of Samuel, prophetic picture is being created. Words are going to be returning to the earth, as well as, of course, the judgments of God. We know very, very well this chapter 3, but what we don't know so well in the story of Samuel is what follows. And we'd like to spend the rest of our morning, if you will, on what follows. And that is in chapter 4. Okay, let me paraphrase chapter 4 for you. The Israelites and the Philistines were constantly at war. And the Israelites chose to go out and fight against the Philistines this particular period of time. And that particular day, they went out and fought, and they lost 4,000 men. They came back and said, gosh, what happened? We went to battle. We failed miserably. We lost 4,000 of our men, our comrades, our colleagues. They began to seek the Lord and talk among themselves. What should we do? They said, well, we're going to go back to Shiloh, and we're going to grab the Ark of the Covenant of God, and we're going to bring it into the battle. Then we know we're going to be successful, because they had remembered that this was how they brought the ark in with them. God led them through the wilderness. Every time they carried the ark, good things happened. Well, they went back, grabbed the ark from Shiloh. They went to battle a second time, saying, surely good things are going to happen now. We have the ark of God. There was an uproar in the camp. Matter of fact, so much so that the Philistines said, almost the earth was thundering, the scriptures say. The Philistines were saying, what's happening in the camp of the Israelites? Word got back to him that the Ark of the Covenant of God was now among the Israelites. And even the Philistines, wow, woe is us. We're doomed now, because isn't it interesting? They were aware of the stories of how God moved on behalf of the Israelites to destroy one of the greatest nations on the earth at that time. That was Egypt. So those stories had gone out throughout the earth of the Israelites and the moving of God through the Israelites, so that the whole world really knew of the stories that came forth from the great miracles that were accomplished by these gods of the Israelites. So they built up one another in courage and strength. Be strong, your men, fight. Okay, well, fine. You know, we don't want to be slaves to them like they've been slaves to us. So they kind of rallied themselves together. They prepared themselves for battle. And they went, and then they had the conflict, a second conflict with the Israelites. Well, as the story goes, you can read it, that day, the Israelites lost 30,000 men. And in addition to that, Hophni and Phinehas, which were the two sons of Eli, so we're going to tie this back to chapter 3, were killed, and the Ark of God was captured. A grave day in the history of the Hebrew nation. Dear ones, simply having what was a four, simply having what worked before, or having a remnant of something, or even having a promise of something, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be fulfilled in the manner that it was before. In other words, the presence of God in the ark was not able to bring the victory to the people when the hearts of the people still was apostate in their spirits.
That's right.
And they were still under wrong leadership of a corrupt priestly order. Eli would die later in that chapter, as news got back to him of the great defeat of the Israelites, he being about 98, blind, obese, fell back on his chair, broke his neck that day. The scripture was fulfilled out of the prophecy in chapter 3 to Samuel that the old order was dying and would be destroyed. Eli died. His two sons, which he learned about prior to his falling back and dying, were killed, but they were wretched sons, given to lust, given to perversion, they too died. God brought judgment on something that could not inherit what God wanted to bring forth. Because God was moving by His Spirit through the purity of a young man, Samuel, who eventually created the school of the prophets, as we know about, that brought such tremendous change over the whole land. And the same thing is going to happen now in this hour, where God is moving by His Spirit to bring forth a new order of things. Not according to the old order that's top-heavy, that's not pure, that's not clean, that's not listening to God's Word, but a new order that is very sensitive, very tender, very young, and is given to the prophetic anointing that God is restoring in the earth and the prophetic word that Samuel spoke, because the great Samuel company is coming forth now in the earth that'll have those same characteristics as the purity and the responsibility of the priestly prophetic ministry of Samuel. Hallelujah. And you can thank the Lord for that, because God has made a way, and it's going to be a way to this great Samuel company that's coming forth in the earth. Doesn't that excite you?
Amen.
Excites me. Amen. Okay, so chapter 4, verse, let's just pick it up in 17, if we could. The man who brought the news replied, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses, and your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God has been captured." Pretty much as we said, with Eli falling back, broke his neck and was dead. Now, while all this was taking place, as you move on down, you can read, Eli's grandchild was also being born to one of his son's wives there. This is Samuel 4, verse 19 through 22. And they named this child Ichabod, which translates what? No glory. The glory is gone. No glory. And that's exactly what happened too. But as I said in the opening comments, we're always looking for something new. Every time God brings an end to something, He's definitely bringing something better. What was God bringing that was better? It was beginning to speak a word to Samuel. A pure word from God. A prophetic word. And that's what we're looking for in this hour. We're not looking to, as great as John Knox was, we have a lot to live up to our dear brother John Knox from Scotland, bless his heart, a forerunner in the cloud of witnesses, no doubt. But we can't look back even to yesterday. What is God speaking today? Amen. That's what we're looking for. Listening ears to what God is speaking. Amen. So no glory. And that's what we could say of much of today. But there's not much glory that we see, but there is a remnant coming forth that's beginning to walk in a glory, beginning to walk in a presence, beginning to walk with an awareness like Samuel, to hear the voice of the Lord. What's that voice? Oh, what's that voice? I hear. That's the Lord speaking to you. Right. We're beginning to be trained in our spirits to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Bless God for the sensitivity in your hearts. You're here because there is a sensitivity in your heart, a willingness within your heart to hear and to know the voice of God. You desire to do His will. This is God inbred, inspired, and known that you would walk in it, of course. But that's why we're gathered together. We're looking for the voice and the leading of the Spirit of God in this hour. Not some religious form. No. Not some religious old order. No. We're looking for the new day of the Spirit of God, like Samuel. Amen.
Yes.
All right. So when you start to lament, because there's no glory left among the old traditional lines of the priesthood, remember this, that an unorthodox line of priesthood is coming forth in the earth today. Hallelujah. And it really is coming forth much like Samuel. If you go back and look at how Samuel came forth, Hannah obviously prayed fervently for her son, gave her son up unto the Lord. And a very interesting thing, if you'll study it out, in 1 Samuel 2:19, every year, Hannah was manifesting her faith by actually crafting and forming a little ephod for this young Samuel that was growing up. Every year he kind of predicted, how much do you think he'll grow this year? Made it this little ephod for him. You know, this was not in accordance with the Jewish law. Again, an unorthodox type of new beginning that God was doing in the earth. Because if you go back and study this out in Numbers chapter 4, the priesthood, you couldn't become a priest until age 30, I believe it was. And there were very strict things about what they wore. Well, they did wear an ephod below their outer garments. Well, Hannah was here at the young, tender age, whatever Samuel was, of making this ephod for him and giving it to him every year. This is contrary to whole Jewish law. So again, we see something all brand new that God is doing. It's not according to the traditions of men, but it is according to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we're interested now in hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Hallelujah. So it's a new beginning, a new line of faith that is rising in the earth. It's a day of faith, a prophetic company, and the great school of prophets that we've heard so much about throughout the years, I believe, is beginning to come forth. And we're going to see this happen. I'm convinced on it. It happened in the days of Samuel. We can read about how that school, most clairvoyant, by golly, you start reading in Kings, how they were able to understand things. It was just amazing, the level of sensitivity that they had. So all that is part of, I think, this day for us. So we're not going to be speaking about the great I was. No, we're going to be speaking about the great I am, the God that is here and now and moving fresh and alive in the earth today. All right. So the cry is, Lord, speak.